BlackoutTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from HGTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live at WildTalkRadio.com, Gerwick.net, RockRadioShow.com, and streaming at Twitch.tv/WTLive. You can interact with us live at those locations. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio and at RockRadioShow and at Lindsay Ward on the Twitter machine as well, because we got a lot to get into. But this was not the song I thought about coming into tonight.
It's a good song.
It's a great song. I thought about Baby It's Cold Outside because god damn it's cold.
Dude, what the hell? I mean, it's not even really that cold here. It's like it's in the 20s and 30s here. It's supposed to be in the 60s tomorrow. You're drunk, Mother Nature. But in Chicago, Jesus.
I don't want to complain because it's like 12 here and it feels like in the singles here, but like Chicago, yeah.
Chicago, oh my God. I don't know what happened to Chicago, but Jesus. It was colder in Chicago yesterday, fun fact, than it was in Antarctica. Think about that, y'all. Think about that. It was colder in Chicago than it was in Antarctica, the very bottom of the earth. That's messed up. There you go. Do you feel better?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was finding another bumper and I was like, oh, there. She's making points. Let me find that one too.
So, yeah, that's a thing that happened.
Brent will make you feel like it's cold. We'll tell you all about the cold. Trust us. Snow. Think about snow. Frozen ice. Frozen water, ice. Everywhere. Think about it. Think about long and hard. It's like playing Fortnite.
But Fortnite's melting.
It is melting. What? Yeah, Fortnite's melting. We'll get to that later tonight.
Fortnite. We'll talk about that. There's some updates in Fortnite that we should probably talk about if we have time, but we have a crap ton of news. We have a pay-per-view we have to talk about because Royal Rumble happened this past Sunday, and there are some things we need to talk about there. I'm sure some people are expecting me to rant. I don't know if I'm actually going to rant and rave on it. At this point, I think I'm just more heartbroken than anything else. But yeah, it was a thing. So we'll talk about that. We've also got Tweet of the Week. I think we're talking SmackDown.
Well, we're going to have SmackDown too.
No NXT, because NXT was just basically two matches and that was it.
Yeah.
But go back and watch it if you didn't watch it. So that's our plug for NXT. So we're going to jump right into the news because there are two huge stories that we need to talk about this week. And it's brought to you by Gerwick.net and FightBook.com. And the biggest surprises of the past 2 weeks, because we didn't do news, is that there are two looming departures for WWE. One that is somewhat surprising, but not really considering, and another one that is kind of a smack to the face. The first one is that Hideo Tommy has asked for his release. It has been granted, so he will be leaving WWE shortly. I think he's actually already left. He does have a 90-day no-compete clause. This isn't a huge surprise to anybody because it's like they brought him in. He was destined to be an NXT champion. I'm sure he was destined to be WWE champion at one point. And he just got sidelined by injuries. And essentially, he had 2 years off. And the dynamic in the company changed so much in 2 years that by the time he came back, there wasn't really a place for him. And everybody that they had lined up for him to compete against, especially in NXT, to establish feuds and all that, had moved on. So he struggled in NXT for a while, and then they sent him to the main roster, and he kind of struggled on the main roster. He found a place on 205 Live, but he just never really got his footing back after that second injury. And so because of that, I'm sure that's one of the many reasons why he's leaving. And there are rumors he's headed back to Japan. That would probably be a safe bet for him, I would say.
That is one of the reasons he was granted his release, most likely, is that he's going back to Japan and won't compete against them with another elite company.
Elite
company.
Elite.
Could be delightful. Yeah, circling back. No, he lost his footing when getting hurt twice and missing a year or so. It's a couple of years of really quality ring time in WWE, sort of hurts him. Yeah, I think he's going back to Noah. I think, cause there's new management with Noah. He may be involved with that. I don't know. That's just me speculating. Timing. He also changed his name back to Kenta a couple days ago before the release on Twitter to Kenta. So there was that. And he's well liked. Like, you saw a lot of people on social, all the wrestlers going, thank you, Hideo. Thank you. All of them, like, everyone liked him. Dudley wasn't liked. It's just, this is not him. This does not turn out to be the experience he thought it was going to be for him.
If he hadn't gotten that second shoulder injury, it probably would have been way different. But unfortunately, that second injury is just what really did him in terms of having a place in the company. And it's just really unfortunate because he's supremely talented. He's the innovator of the GTS. And that's also sort of what killed him in terms of his career, was when they had to ban the GTS. Like, once they got rid of that, he was done. Like, they weren't going to do anything else with him, because I think that was part of it, was he was the innovator of it. He could use it. And it was sort of like a smack in the face of somebody. And now it's like, well, because somebody got hurt by it, they're like, well, you really can't use it anymore.
And all that fun, happy jazz. It is. He was in a bad spot. And injuries suck. And he was going to be NXT champion. Like, if you remember, because he was in the Battle Royal that 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was like, okay, they're going to do something with him. And it's like, oh, no, then he gets hurt. And everything just didn't fall in line for him. It sucks. He's a great talent. And we're going to talk about it, like, with the SummerSlam stuff. Is like, they're building him up huge during the match, too. Like, this was his chance. Yeah. This is his chance. And just was not the base. So, yeah. Anyway. So, sorry to see him go. But hopefully he finds himself back in Japan, gets his legs back under him, and, you know, be with his family. Get his family back together and everything like that.
Although I think his wife and kids had come over with him, but yeah, it'll be good for him to be back probably with his larger extended family.
Yeah, get his family back where they're meant to be.
Yeah. So, best wishes. Thank you for everything, Hideo. Look forward to seeing you in the future. The other departure is huge. It's a surprise. Nobody was expecting it. And that is that Dean Ambrose has indicated that he is not re-signing a contract, that he will be leaving WWE at the end of April after Mania. WWE made this official. They did release a statement stating that he is leaving the company. Renee Young has also followed this up. Because Dean obviously doesn't release public statements. So every indicator is that Dean is leaving. And this is huge. He turned down a seven-figure, five-year deal to be with WWE. And he said no. Part of the frustration for him is creative. He doesn't really like where he's going. He doesn't like that he has pretty much no creative control over his character and what he does.
He doesn't like the hokey stuff.
Yeah, and that's what they keep having him do. And he's really not enjoying himself. And so he's made the decision to leave and move on. It's unfortunate for WWE because it is a huge loss. Because again, he's amazingly talented. He was one of those workhorse guys. They could put him in any situation and he could perform very, very well. About the only one that he really wasn't doing well in was the current heel turn, and that's just because of the way it was being written. And yeah, I mean, it sucks. It really sucks that Dean is leaving. Nobody knows where he's going to go or what he's going to do. He all keeps that all super close to the vest. Everybody thinks that this is a work. I don't think it is. I just honestly don't believe it seems way too overcomplicated that you would announce that he's leaving only to not have him leave. I mean, unless somebody came up with a really whiz-bang storyline, every indication and just knowing what you know about the man, which is not a lot, this is legit.
It's legit. There's talking like if they come to him with something, he may stay for a little longer. It all depends. But the plan is now, after the WrestleMania is over and done with, could be a little bit after. No, there's no definite final date, whatever it is. It's in April at some point, whenever his contract's up, that he'll be gone. The first rumor is All Elite Wrestling, because there's money out there. And you have to think about it. He was off for, what, 9 months?
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of time to think for 9 months. Dean did. And it's like, he looked at the situation he's in, and he's like, all right, here's my bank account now. How much do I really need? I only need a third of this to really survive day to day. I'm pretty good with money. I can go do whatever I need to do in wrestling outside of WWE because creatively, he's not feeling it right now, and I don't blame him. Though I did see a headline like, this is how WWE wasted the megastar opportunity with Dean Ambrose. They did not waste Dean Ambrose. Like, that's a false narrative that he was ever wasted. He was WWE champion for months when they split the brands on SmackDown. He's been in a top position 90% of his run in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, they never wasted him. Could they have done more with him? Yes. He was never wasted. He was always a focused player on the show. He always had something to do. Whether it was with Bray Wyatt, whether it was with the Shield, whether it's being WWE champion, whatever it was, he was always in a position to do something. So, like, that narrative is, like, stupid. It's gonna suck when he goes. It will suck if he goes to All Elite Wrestling, because that, despite what Jericho says, that we're not going after any really of their talent,
he would be a snag.
He would be a game changer in terms of young and prime talent to go there to be a star. He is a game changer. He is the Scott Hall, Kevin Nash. He is the Lex Luger. He is the game changer jumping ship to make a real difference in a company with creative freedom. Like, and that's the key. If All Elite Wrestling didn't come out, Dean could have been like, maybe I'll just stay maybe I'll sign a year and see what's going on. You know what I mean? But there's another opportunity out there for him to go to, if he chooses to. So we'll see. It's going to suck, but
I mean, it could be he wants to go home and he wants to chill for a while. I doubt that, but I mean, here's the thing. He's not going to say anything or do anything that is going to directly affect his wife's job because she is remaining with the company. And I mean, honestly, he could go home and he could chill at home and they could live off her salary. They don't live a lavish, expensive lifestyle. They have a nice house, but I mean, I'm sure it's paid for or they've got it well taken care of. It's well within their means. He's not a flashy person. You don't see him with a big car, fancy car and all the jewelry and everything. He seems like a very down to earth individual that's saved a lot of his money. So he could go home. He could just chill for a while and he could think about it and he could entertain offers. And I mean, it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if AEW goes after him or Impact or any of the other companies. Cause I mean, it's kind of the world is his oyster. He'd do whatever the hell he wants.
Pretty much.
He'd go hike the Appalachian Trail if he wants. I mean, it's just I think he wants to do him for a while. There's always a chance he could go back to WWE, especially if the offer changes. And they say, hey, you want creative freedom? All right, here you go. Do what you got to do. They won't do that, but I mean, that could be an option. But I mean, he has his reasons and it's cool. And maybe he'll come back and maybe he won't. Maybe he'll go to AEW. Maybe he won't. Maybe he just does the indie circuit.
We'll see.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't show up in Impact just because Solomon Crowe is there.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that could be a major factor for him if he decides to go somewhere else, because Impact has Solomon Crowe, and he would be a game changer for Impact too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the money to get him, and they have the opportunity to give him the creative freedom.
There's freedom out there, so if he wants to take it, he can take it.
So, yeah. This was huge news, and nobody was expecting it. Because the rumor started, and it's like, wait, Dean's leaving? What? No! No, Dean's not leaving, and then it got serious really, really quick, and everybody's like...
Wait, what?
Yeah, wait, what?
It's like, wait...
Wait, but... Excuse me. So, with those departures, we do have a few returns to balance the delicate balance in WWE, if you want to put it like that. We have Shane Helms, Sean Devari, and Jeff Jarrett joining WWE as producers. Jarrett has appeared on TV this past week, feuding with Elias, which is weird.
It's weird, but they're interesting hires. Devari's been running a school, so that's interesting. Helms was working with Impact for a while, and Jeff, you know, we all know Jeff's history. They're stocking up producer talent. I mean, at a time when a wrestling company is starting up, they're securing the agent producers.
Like you do.
Just saying. They're also preparing for SmackDown moving to Fox, but...
Yeah, that too. That's really the main reason.
But it just sort of coincides. I mean... Every talent's out there, whether it's producers, wrestlers alike. There you go.
So, up next we have Aiden English transitioning into a new role as he joins the 205 Live announce team through Mania season. So, he's still wrestling, but he's also doing the commentary, which I didn't mind him. He's actually pretty good.
He's fine.
That voice is just like really a little jarring when you first turn on 205 Live and you're like, here's this luscious voice doing commentary. And you're like, oh, wow, that's kind of nice. It's like, hey, all right, cool. So, yeah. So, Aiden English is doing commentary for 205 Live through Mania season. In less happy news, I don't know how to take this. WWE is teaming up with the Buna Murray Productions, the company behind Total Bellas, Total Divas, and Keeping Up with the Kardashians, to find the next female superstar, aka y'all, the Diva Search is back. And they want to see who has what it takes to go toe-to-toe with the likes of Ronda Rousey, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch. I imagine that people are not happy about this at all.
See how it turns out. We'll see how it turns out. If it's Diva Search-esque, I don't think it will be. I think it's going to be more of a tough enough, like, setup, I would assume.
But even still, people were not happy that Tough Enough came back. Like, the talent were really, really pissed, actually, that Tough Enough was back. So...
Yeah.
I can't imagine that the female talent are any happier about this.
Yeah, well, they've had, like, okay, WWE holds tryouts all the time, right? This they're just going to film and make a TV show out of. Like, they bring in talent all the time for tryouts. They're going to be a little bit more focused on it, yes. This is not guaranteeing that, what they're not saying right now, and this could change and whatever, but they're not guaranteeing them, okay, here's a main roster spot. They're just guaranteeing them a chance. Like, that's all it is. That's all it is right now. It's a chance. It's an opportunity. We'll see where it goes. I mean, they're doing a casting search. I mean, they're looking for people. And guess what? Indie wrestlers can go in there and go, all right, I'm ready.
Yeah, but we'll see who gets the shot. But yeah, this will be interesting. That's all I got to say.
I think we're going to get talent that is better. That is okay. We're going to get less Eva Marie, more Mandy Rose type talent, if that makes sense.
They're the same thing.
No, they're not. No. Mandy went and trained. Mandy worked at it, even not so much.
I really wish you could see my face right now.
But I'm serious. No, Mandy went actually put in the work. Like, she's actually put in the work. She's done those local Florida shows with NXT.
I know she's put in the work, but I'm just like...
I'm not talking about looks. I'm talking about how they would put in their talent. That's what I was saying.
Okay. Anyway.
All right, anyway.
Blame Brents.
Hold on. Before we get to blame Brents, Brent would be happy if there were more Eva Marie's.
Right. He would be thrilled.
All right, now I'll do blame Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
All righty. So Will Ospreay has a broken toe.
# blame Brent.
Ember Moon suffered an elbow injury that required immediate surgery. This happened at the Rumble.
# blame Brent.
way to like mess up her mania, Brent. Rude. And then do I have to?
Yes.
Do I really have to do this?
Yes.
I don't want to.
Okay. Wrestling journalist Dave Meltzer, broken finger.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Does that even qualify?
Yes. Yes, it does.
How does that qualify?
Because it's wrestling. That's why. No, like, for him, that's a big deal, because he can't do what he does for, like, 8 weeks. Kind of sucks.
What does he do?
He writes the Wrestling Observer newsletter, and he's a reporter. He can't type for 8 weeks. It's big for him.
I'm very sorry he broke his finger, but...
It was in a bike accident.
I don't think it qualifies.
It qualifies. It's wrestling.
I don't think it qualifies.
It qualifies. It qualifies. Moving on.
We'll debate this later.
Moving on.
Moving on. All right. WWE has signed an agreement with New Era Caps. So we'll be getting some hot, fresh snapbacks from them.
So they have a deal with Lids and now New Era. I mean, that's pretty cool. I saw the WWE logo one. It looked really good.
Mm-hmm. WWE has announced that the
Hold on. Brent goes, I did a community service with that, Lindsay. You're welcome.
Still doesn't count. WWE announced just in time for the Super Bowl that Halftime Heat, if I can speak, will be returning this Sunday. It will be live from the Performance Center. So in case you don't want to watch the epic halftime show that's going to be featuring Maroon 5, as well as other talented artists, feel free to pop over to the WWE Network and watch some wrestling, because reasons.
All right, it's going to be, what, Ciampa, Gargano, and Cole versus Dream, Black, and Ricochet?
Yeah.
The announced team, Vic Joseph, former guest of the show, and the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, former guest of the show. Saying, not to drop any names or anything.
Yeah, we don't ever drop names, but, you know, just in case.
Just point that out.
And WWE also announced that they will have an official air date for the When Worlds Collide Tournament air date, which features 205 Live, NXT, NXT UK. That will be airing online all day, February 2nd, as a special on the network, and at 8 p.m. Eastern on the 2nd.
Yeah. It's online all day on February 2nd, right? So that they're going to air the first round matchups online on WWE.com, the app, YouTube, whatever. Then at night, the Saturday at 8 p.m., it will be the special, the final, the second round and the finals, whatever, on the network special to see who wins the World's Collide Tournament. That's pretty cool. I'll be watching.
That's pretty cool.
I'll be watching.
Should be a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah.
So there's that in case anybody's interesting. And last but certainly not least, we have had a Roman Reigns sighting. That's right.
Dun-dum.
He put out pictures of himself and his cousin on the set of The Rock's brand new movie, the Fast and Furious spinoff, by the way, in case you're curious. Roman is going to be playing The Rock's brother in the movie.
Yeah, it's Hobbs and Shaw. He'll be playing Hobbs's brother in the movie, which is The Rock. They filmed in Hawaii for the last few weeks.
Cool. He's been taking treatment there. He looks really, really good. He looks happy, rested. He's put on a little weight, which that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but Roman looked absolutely wonderful. So that's good to see. It's good to kind of get an update on him and see how he's doing. And, you know, it's nice to see that he's okay. You know, even if he's still fighting cancer, it's good to kind of get an update on him, because it's like he left and then we didn't hear anything. It's like, is he okay? And then like little things pop up here and there. But this was like the first like confirmation that he was okay. So yeah, it was nice. It's good.
Yeah. So good.
So are we doing a thing here? Or are we not doing a thing?
No, we're going to break.
Okay. That's what I was asking. Cause you, based on what you sent me, there's only one in the sheet.
No. Anyway.
Yes. The sheet I'm looking at.
Anyway, let's go to break.
All right. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about the Royal Rumble. We'll let you know who won, who lost, and who did some amazing things. Plus, two of the week, SmackDown Throwdown, all your favorites. It's The Rack. And we'll be right back right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
Sometimes the rain falls, sometimes the sunrise. Sometimes I rewind to the pain that's inside. Going into midnight, working by the candlelight. Last person to rest, first person to rise. Consistent on the grind, success on my mind. Catch me at the
to hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
Is this thing on now? I've been working long like a marathon now. Tying up words, making them a bomb now. Tell me, who turned on me alone now? I got a message, been putting in that song now. I'll see you later, all the haters got it wrong now.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. And well, that music means one thing, that we are going to be talking about Royal Rumble. So do we want to do the Rumble first, or do we want to do Tweet of the Week first?
Let's do tweets.
All right, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. I until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Dr. Lupo. Dear Australia, this trip was a ton of fun. I'm incredibly grateful I was chosen for this adventure, and I 100% plan on coming again. Everyone was so nice. Thank you for being so welcoming. But I must go. And I'm bringing spiders home to everyone, like I promised. Smiley face. Raif replies, are you also taking Tim Tam and Vegemite? We need to know if we're sending care packages. Lupo replies, I ate them already, not even joking. I would burn Vegemite, though. And Mrs. Dr. Lupo replies, you had Tim Tams? He better have brought home some home, that's all I'm going to say. 100T Valkyrie. Have you ever seen a giraffe in person? Holy, majestic, precious, mythical creatures we don't deserve. I think she met a giraffe.
I think so.
Chap puts out a video of him eliminating Dr. Lupo with the quote, 1 year later, nothing has changed. Tags Lupo. Lupo replies, 1 year later, you're still not verified. Sick. LOL.
Burn.
All right. Henry Cajudo tweets Daniel Bryan, there's enough room in the valley for a king and a prince. As prince, you should know your role and make sure you pour my Bello Radici wine to the rim. P.S. Don't get too attached to that WWE belt. I'm on a bit of a roll myself, USP, ESPN, MMA. Daniel Bryan replies, watch your mouth, boy, or after I beat AJ at Royal Rumble, I'll drop down to 125 and come tap you faster than you KO Dillashaw. Dillashaw. P.S. Drinking Bello Radici is the closest you're ever going to get to my sister-in-law.
Damn.
Ouch. Ninja, I feel amazing. So happy to be spending quality time with Jay Ghosty and my parents. Dr. Lupo replies, it's been nice hanging out with you too, son.
Okay, that was good.
That's all I got.
Okay. Let's see. Headlock Comic. It's a long con, guys. Daniel Bryan took control of the Wyatt family 5 years ago and waited until now to hatch his plan. Jeremy Botter. Lesnar caught that table right on the dick. And diverticulitis. We'll get to that.
We're going to talk about that.
Vince Zerhai. Oh god, Grandpa busted out the bondage gear again. Jeff Jarrett. Ronda Rousey, one big difference between me and you, Becky Lynch, with everything you said last night was fantasy make-believe. And every word out of my mouth was a fact. Becky Lynch. No, I believe you're a killer. Ronnie, you were murdering that whole segment until the man bailed you out.
Ouch. Not a lie.
So Dr. Lupo is now with State Farm. So Jake from State Farm goes, Dr. Lupo, where are we dropping? Hashtag Fortnite, hashtag we hit those, hashtag look at me, I'm Dr. Lupo, I know how to State Farm. He goes, tilt it, my friend. There isn't anywhere else. Jake from State Farm, I thought we were landing at Tilted. I guess it wasn't our destiny. Hashtag I got jokes, and he photoshopped this picture of himself looking at Tilted Towers. Well played. Well played.
That was cute as hell. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely cute as hell. And now I know Jake from State Farm has a verified Twitter. I'm just, like, screaming.
Rob Schomburger. Once upon a time, there was a $1 million belt. Now, the $10 donation or trade belt. Hashtag SmackDown Live. We'll get to that. Richard Triunfo. Matt Riddle versus Daniel Bryan for the championship. Must take place on 420. Bro.
Lit.
WWE Creative-ish. Phoenix, Arizona. 4 days. 4 shows. 2 superstars quit. At least it wasn't cold out. Hashtag travel woes. Courage JD. I hope everyone is having a good evening, except for the people that actually like hard shell tacos. Dr. Lupo. I love hard shell tacos. Courage. Okay, now you're just actually trolling. Tweet a week.
Alrighty. Some good ones in there. So now we are going to talk about the Royal Rumble, which was this past Sunday on the WWE Network. The almost 5 hour event.
6.5 hour event.
We don't count the pre-show.
I count the pre-show. I watch the
pre-show. I don't count
the pre-show. I watch the pre-show. I count it.
I watch part of it.
I count it because I had to sit through it. So time spent, 6.5 hours.
Time spent or time served?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we are going to start with the pre-show. And well, overall impression, this was a good show. Highly enjoyable.
Very entertaining Royal Rumble show. It was, yeah.
It dragged in spots, but other than that, it was fine. So up first, we have Bobby Roode and Chad Gable taking on the random team of Rezar and Scott Dawson.
The backstory behind this matchup was Spud, Drake Maverick, went to the McMahons and was like, hey, the rival won a title shot, Rezar wants a title shot, but Acom's hurt, thanks, Brent. And, you know, let's pair them together and have a match. And if they win, they both sides get tag title matches. Cool? Cool. So they had an average match, which Roode and Gable won. Woohoo. Next.
Yay. So for the U.S. title, you have Rusev defending on Rusev Day against Shinsuke Nakamura. This actually served as a plot point for later in the night, so it did have its purpose.
It had a purpose.
Because I think the biggest point in this match was Lana getting injured in the match, which cost Rusev the title against Shinsuke. Yeah. And Lana's injury will play a factor later in the night.
She was on the apron yelling, he's cheating, he's cheating, he's cheating, he's cheating. She's waving her shoe like, throw your shoe, Lana, just throw your shoe at Shinsuke. Throw your shoe at Shinsuke, that will just, you know, make up for his cheating. No, instead she got knocked off the apron and Rusev goes, Lana! And then we got Kinshasa! Anu. Shinsuke Nakamura, U.S. champion. That changes, though. We'll get to SmackDown later with that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. So, then we get the announcement of Halftime Heat, where Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream, and Ricochet are taking on Ciampa, Cole, and Gargano during the Super Bowl Halftime Show. So if anybody, again, does not want to watch the Super Bowl Halftime Show, please tune in to Halftime Heat. Thank you very much. This has been your public service announcement. And the final show on the pre-show was for the Cruiserweight Championship, where we see Buddy Murphy defending against Tozawa, Kalisto, and Hideo Itami. This was a good match.
Very enjoyable. Very, very enjoyable.
I like this a lot. We had Tozawa diving through the ropes. I did have to laugh because Hideo's like reaction to the dives, where he was like repeatedly catching people. He was like, meh, meh, meh. Like yeah. Let's just get this over with, please.
It was fun. It was the big dives. You had big kicks, big knees. Everyone did their moves. It was all the flippy stuff they knew to do with the Cruiserweights. It was really good. Murphy hit Murphy's Law for the win to retain his title.
So that's the end of the pre-show. We now move on to the main show, where your opening contest, which was a hell of a contest, was Asuka defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against the man, Becky Lynch. This was fabulous.
She wasn't over at all.
Nope, not in the least.
This was a really good match. There was one spot where they were fighting on the side of the apron, and Asuka does this fisherman suplex twistings thing, and it looked like Becky landed on her head. She landed fine, but it was like, ooh, that was scary.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, that was close. That could have gone bad.
Mm-hmm. The Beck Exploder from the top rope was cool. I love that they were trading submissions.
Mm-hmm. That was nice.
But in a surprise, Becky tapped.
Becky did tap.
I love the Asuka lock with the bridge, though. That was cool.
That was a nice way to do that.
Yeah, it made it more effective. It made it more, it wasn't just, oh, she tapped out to the move like normal. No, no. Asuka had to pull something out different, a different variation of it, to get the win. I liked it.
It was interesting. It was fun. After the match, we kind of saw Becky thinking, the wheels in her head were turning,
She was plotting her next move.
Yes, she was. And there was no Charlotte anywhere near this match, which I am 100% okay with.
Yep.
Up next, we have the SmackDown Tag Team Championships on the line, as we have The Bar defending against The Miz and Shane McMahon. We had a huge swing from Cesaro, and at 49 years old, we see Shane McMahon hitting a Shooting Star Press, which is insane.
Okay, not only did he hit the Shooting Star Press, he was the one who took the giant swing for like 2 minutes.
Shane McMahon is not human. I'm just convinced of this. The man is not human. I'm still trying to figure out how he's walking at his age. Just knowing all the stupid crap that he's done. I mean, my God.
But that,
I don't know where he comes from, but I hope he passed that stamina to his kids.
He's a McMahon, damn it.
He is. They're built different.
They are. Clearly, they are. They have those grapefruits that just make them do things that are unhuman. But no, that Shooting Star Press, Cesaro, whew. One, I feel bad for Cesaro and his significant other, because that probably didn't feel so good.
No.
Because when Shane landed, his elbow went right to the...
He hit him right in the dick.
Yep.
That should be called the dick shot, because that's kind of what that was.
That's pretty much what it was. He drilled him right in there.
So, yeah.
But new. Tag Team Champions, Shane McMahon and The Miz.
This made me really happy that they put the titles on them. Because it's like, the expected thing is, yeah, they're going to lose and the bar is going to retain and that's going to be that. But the fact that they went with Shane and Miz, because it is getting over, it is extremely popular. I'm fine with this. Like, I think it's cool. And they followed it up brilliantly on SmackDown, so I'm not going to complain.
No, we'll get to that later. This is a good match. I enjoyed it. It could have been cut like 3 minutes, but it was good.
Yeah, it was fun, which is what you want on this show. So we get the official attendance of the show, which is 48,193 people. Not bad if you can get it.
Yep, 48,193 supposed people in attendance.
It looked like it. It looked full.
It looked, no, it was full. It's just the, you inflate the number a couple of thousand. But no, it's really, it's an impressive number.
I really actually, while we're on the number, I loved the feeling of the Rumble. I liked how big it felt just because they were in a bigger venue than they normally are.
It felt special.
It just, it felt important.
Yeah, it felt really important. And I loved the set. The set was very basic. I feel bad for certain sections of the building for a little bit of the time, because there was this big spotlight that was just blaring out, blinding the ring. I feel bad for them. But beyond that, I loved the setup. I loved how it was at the, dugout. I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It made it feel like, okay, we're not just in a building. We're going to take advantage of what this building is. So we're going to fancy up the dugout and make, put, you know, our LED walls out, but they're still going to walk up the dugout, which is cool.
And they really hit home because they did do such a simple set. The 3D graphics. I don't know who their 3D animator is, but that person is worth every penny that they're paying them and more. Please give that person a raise, or those people that are doing this a raise, because the 3D graphics that they were using just sort of as intros were off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely off the charts. They were incredible looking. They looked way better. And they kind of started this process as Mania last year. And at Mania last year, they were kind of like, okay, all right. They're a little scary looking. But this year, right now, they've cleaned them up. They look beautiful. I mean, just, they were superb. And it was a nice little touch for the TV audience to see those.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, again, it added this feeling that this is big, this is important, this is what the Rumble should feel like. Like, just seeing the building and seeing that many people and seeing just, seeing it, it gets you excited for it, because you're like, yeah, yeah, it's the Rumble, yeah. Whereas, like, you know, sometimes in years past, you see, like, the 10,000-seat arena, and you're like, yeah, it's the Rumble. But this year, it felt big, it felt important. I liked it.
Yeah.
So, up next, after that break, by the way, this is The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are talking about the Royal Rumble, in case you just tuned in. You have the Raw Women's Championship on the line as Ronda Rousey takes on Sasha Banks.
I really love this match.
This is good.
It was not a traditional wrestling match. It was a fight. There were clunky spots, but there was a lot of hard-hitting spots, a lot of good submission work, a lot of good selling. I really enjoyed this matchup. The only thing I hate is that her move is called the Piper's Pit.
I think
that's a terrible name. Even Cole went, she hit the Rowdy when it's called Piper's Pit. It was weird. But yeah, Sasha and Ronda had great chemistry. They worked really well together. You could tell they were really into this matchup. They were really looking to do something impressive. And I thought they hit it out of the park. I thought, overall, I enjoyed this one.
This was really good. I like this. I wouldn't mind seeing another one just to give them an opportunity to sort of like clean up some of the clunkiness in this. But this, I liked this. You could tell, like you said, it was special.
Yeah.
I think they both wanted this. It was a highlighted match. It was featured. And on a show where you have to compete with two Royal Rumble matches, with Brock Lesnar, with everything else that's going on, you want to make sure you stand out. And these two definitely made sure they stood out. Sasha took every bit that she could take and gave it back double to Ronda. And yeah, in the end, Ronda Rousey does win. She goes for the W. But after the match was really, really interesting, because we see a show of respect, but then Sasha comes back after the match and throws up the Four Horsewomen sign to Ronda. And leaves.
Yeah. Interesting. Wouldn't you say interesting?
Very, very, very interesting. We were all like, yeah, okay, all right. I see where this is going. Fine with it.
Fine with it. Totally fine with it. It's cool. We'll see where it goes.
It works. So yeah, after this, we had the Women's Royal Rumble match. Okay. Which, there weren't a ton of surprises in this.
There were surprises, but there weren't legends. They did not bring any legends back for this matchup.
No, because they got Rhea Ripley instead, which I was fine with.
So we got a lot of NXT talent. We'll start it off. The first couple of people were Lacey Evans, Natalya, who was in for a while, and Mandy Rose, Liv Morgan, who was in there for a cup of coffee, but she had a later impact. Ruby came out, we'll get to that. Mickie James, Ember Moon, Billy Kay, Nikki Cross. Billy Kay. Stick with Billy Kay for the guy. I'm not going in there. I'm waiting for Payne.
Perfect.
I'm not.
That was perfect.
It was great. It's like, she knows when Payne's coming. It's like, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to wait for Payne. I'm not going to get in the ring. I'm not going to deal with Ember Moon. I'm not going to deal with Natalya or Lacey. I'm not dealing with it all. I'm going to wait. Just going to wait.
And then Nikki Cross showed up, who's not over at all.
She got a huge pop from the crowd.
She runs out, and the first thing she does is go for Billy Kay. Yep. And so that gets Billy in the match. And then right after Nikki comes Peyton. Peyton comes running down the I don't want to call it rampway, because that's not right. It wasn't a ramp. But she comes running down the aisle. And you could just tell the reaction is, get your hands off my wife! It's just what you could tell it was. It was just, she's just like, get your hands off her!
Yep.
And so a fight ensues there. And I mean, that was just one of the cute little moments in the Rumble where you're like, yeah, okay, that was good. That was really good.
Tamina can get out of the ring. I don't need to see her anymore.
I wouldn't say it like that. That's mean.
She has bad knees. She has terrible timing. She is sloppy in the ring. She needs to pull it back. Is that a nicer way of saying it?
Tamina's knees are bothering her. You can tell they're bothering her. It's just at this point, yeah, I feel like... I don't want to tell her to get out of the ring, because for the love of God, she does this and I don't. But I mean, at the same time, it's like, you can tell in the way that she walks, because they showed everybody walking to the ring in a very prolonged aisle, that her knees really are...
They're shot.
They're shot. They're bothering her a lot. And it's just like, oh, honey, no.
Yeah, Zia Lee, nice surprise. Sarah Logan, Charlotte.
Okay, can we talk about how cute Sarah Logan looked real quick?
Go ahead.
She looked adorable. She had on this feather, I don't want to call it a skirt, because it's not a skirt, but a feather thing on her bottom, and it was adorable. She came as a little Viking, which, you know, follows up the night before where she was a little Viking, and she kind of went in there and kicked ass for a little bit.
She did. Charlotte, Kairi Sane, Maria Kanellis, Naomi, who came right for Mandy Rose.
Like you do.
And then Mandy Rose quickly got her out. Candice LeRae.
Candice! That made me so happy to see Candice!
Okay. One, she was wearing gear inspired by Tegan Nox as tribute. And two, if you go to the WWE PC YouTube channel, you can see the Sarah D'Amato. No, was it Sarah? No, I don't think it was Sarah. I know it was Albert. And Sarah, I think. No, what? Who's the other trainer? No, I think it was Sarah.
It had to be Sarah.
Yeah, it was Sarah. Albert and Sarah, they went in and they told all the talent that they're going to be in the Rumble. I thought it was really awesome.
Just some of the reactions, you can tell that this meant the world to people.
Yeah, it did.
That they got to be in the Rumble.
Yeah. Alicia Fox, Casey Catanzaro.
Who gave everybody a very, very good thrill for the night.
She's flexible.
Very flexible. And extremely talented. I mean, the girl is athletic as hell. I could see exactly why they signed her. But very, very, very flexible. Very flexible.
Zelina Vega. Ruby Riott. And the Riott Squad came out with her. And they just dominated people for a while. Dana Brooke.
That was my pick, by the way. Ruby Riott. Number 21. Go, Ruby.
I had Maria Kanellis, so there was that. Dana Brooke. Io Shirai. Rhea Ripley.
I got a point for Io!
Rhea Ripley.
Oh, Rhea made me so happy. Like, Rhea showing up made me so goddamn happy.
You have
no idea.
She was dominant. Sonya Deville, Alexa Bliss, Bayley got a nice little time in the Rumble.
Alexa got a huge pop.
Yeah, she did. Lana limped to the ring, or half the aisle away.
Yeah, okay, so this is where Lana's injury comes into play. She was number 27.
28.
She comes out, 28. She's limping, she can barely walk, she's in pain, and you're like, all right, you're waiting for it. She makes it about halfway down the aisle. She gets surrounded by referees and medical trainers. They're asking if she's okay. There's Fit Finley checking on her, and who walks out but the man, Becky Lynch. And by this point, the remaining entrants in the have entered the Rumble.
Yeah, which were Nia Jax and Carmella.
And Nia Jax had attacked Lana.
Mm-hmm.
And so Becky walks out. Becky's like, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And Finley's like, no, no. And she's like, Lana never entered. There's only 29 entrants. There's a spot open. Give it to me. And so Becky Lynch finally gets her chance in the Rumble to a huge ovation from the crowd, I might add. And she hops her little self up in that ring and starts kicking ass and taking names in the Rumble. And they whittle it down to Becky, Charlotte, and Nia. And I had to laugh because one of the first things Becky does when she gets in the ring is she goes right for Nia. Like, just beeline.
Yeah, of course. She had to.
It's fabulous.
It was. Boiled down to Becky and Charlotte. Becky was working, had a knee injury after being attacked. And she sold it, she sold it, she sold it. Took everything Charlotte had, but one mistake by Charlotte, and Becky Lynch gets the win in the Royal Rumble and is headed to WrestleMania,
where she will be facing Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship and absolutely slayed Monday night.
Oh, yeah. So
there's that.
All right. So it's time for a SmackDown Throwdown, right?
No.
But I thought that was the end. Big, big crowning moment. That was...
No. No, we still have like half the show to do.
Like, okay, so we sat here legitimately going, okay, good show. All
yeah,
right.
It's like, that's the ending you want, right? That's the end of the show. Becky Lynch wins. She stands tall. Oh, wait, crap. There's still the Men's Rumble, and there's still
two title
matches to go.
This was legit how we were talking, because we were talking about it, and I was like, okay. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, because I looked down at the clock, and I'm like, oh, shit, there's like 2 hours left on this show. Crap. Crap. So up next, having to follow the big win of Becky Lynch, is Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. This was a good match. You would expect nothing less from these two.
Just not like a match the crowd wanted that night, because they were spent for a while.
Yeah.
And yeah. But the match got interesting at the end, Lindsay.
So, a big, tall, bald ginger, who's formerly a Wyatt and now formerly a Bludgeon brother, comes wandering out. Eric Rowan, of all people, does what he does best. He randomly shows up, and he walks out, and he helps Daniel Bryan beat AJ Styles. And he's dressed in plaid, a metal shirt and jeans. His tattoos, which he's been getting while he's out, are on full display, and I'm sitting here like, what the hell happened? And I have asked this question, but I'm gonna ask it on this show, because I legit need to know. So are we just supposed to, like, make that leap of faith that this guy who used to, you know, wander around in the woods, may or may not have been brainwashed by a cult leader, may or may not have killed people, like, the dude's a psychopath. We're just supposed to accept that he went from, like, carrying a giant hammer and tooling around in a sheet mask to being eco-friendly, like, that he made that leap in 8 months and he's just fine? I mean, are we seriously supposed to do that? Because, like, I need an explanation for this. That, like, Eric Rowan went from creepy sheet mask dude to this. To this. I require an explanation.
There is no explanation. That is the answer. The answer is yes. You're supposed to make that leap.
I can't make that leap. I have seen video of that man carrying what is supposed to be a body around. You want to sit here and tell me that, like, he's okay now? Like, he's fine? He went and recycled and he's just like, oh, I'm fine. I'm cured of all my afflictions and my need to hurt people. I'm good. I'm totally good. Like, he just threw off all the brainwashing and he's fine.
Yep.
Like, what? What? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm really happy he's on TV. I'm really happy he's with Daniel Bryan. That puts him in a great position, career-wise. But just what? Just, he's supposed to be fine. He's supposed to be fine. No, that's not how this works. Also, Eric Rowan made it back to TV before Bray Wyatt. Just everybody let that sink in for a second.
Yeah, he did.
Eric Rowan made it back to TV before Bray did.
Mm-hmm.
And is in a more prominent spot than Bray will be if Bray ever comes back, which we're going to get to. But, yeah. I just, what? what? What is this? But we do need to talk really quickly before we move on about SmackDown because, well, Daniel Bryan.
No, we'll do it. We'll do it in SmackDown.
But I want to talk about
no,
it.
No, we'll wait. We have things to talk about in SmackDown. We'll get to it.
Okay.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it all.
Okay, so up next, we have the Universal title match, where it's David and Goliath. I hate that they made it David and Goliath, and that they keep calling Finn Small, like, for the love of God, stop. And it's Brock versus Finn for the title, and my favorite phrase that came from this entire match is he kicked him right in the diverticulitis. He's going for the diverticulitis, because Finn knew what he had to do. He came out of the gate firing. I don't even think he gave Brock a second to breathe.
Nope.
The second the man got in the ring, like, that bell rang and Finn was just on him, kicking him in the head as many times as he could. He got Brock on the outside. Brock took a table shot right to the intestine dick region and never really recovered. He had a nasty scratch on his stomach.
Yeah, so we spent the next 5 minutes making diverticulitis jokes every time Brock took a shot.
And people are still making diverticulitis yep. jokes. Like, that's just going to be a thing now. It's like he kicked him right in the diverticulitis. Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah, so as you mentioned, Finn came shooting out of cannon. He was on fire. He got caught in the Kimura at the end. Went 8.5 minutes. It's the perfect amount of time. Could have gone longer, yes. But they hit everything they needed to, and Brock got the move in. He did not hit the F5. He did after the match. He took him to Suplex City and hit F5s after the match. But during the match, he could not hit it. He had to use the Kimura. He had to trap Finn. It's like he had to resort to the Kimura to get the win. I liked it. I thought this was good.
Which I like, because it's like Finn came really close to beating Brock, and I think Brock realized it. I'd be interested to see if they can get Finn and Brock to go again, and if we can get the demon to play, and what that would do.
We'll see.
But yeah, this was good. I really liked it. Very enjoyable. And also, this didn't need to be any longer because the show was running really long at this point. So we were like, oh god, we still have to do the men's rumble, and that's an hour plus. So it's like, we're going long tonight. We're going long.
Yep.
And that leads you to the main event.
The Royal Rumble. Alright, number one was Elias. Number two was the world's greatest singer, the world's greatest wrestler, the world's greatest entertainer. Ain't he great? That's JEFFJARRET, in his retro 1995 outfit, even though it was made for 2019, Jeff Jarrett.
Why did they let him out of the house looking like that?
Because WWE only knows one Jeff Jarrett, and that's this Jeff Jarrett. And he played his 95 Jeff Jarrett role, taking on Elias in the Rumble, getting eliminated by Elias. So there it was.
I'm fine with him doing the gimmick, but the bondage gear top thing, whatever the hell that was, that whole situation that was going on there, that was not okay. Like, I understand you're going for that whole aesthetic look thing, but you could have gotten the man a shirt.
But that's not the look. He's got to be 1995 Jeff Jarrett.
No, he doesn't. He didn't have the mullet.
He never had a mullet.
He had a mullet.
Yeah, he did. But no, because he lost his hair match a few months ago, he couldn't. Anyway, the fringe stuff.
Yeah.
So we had Shinsuke Nakamura, Kurt Angle, who was in and out, which was surprising. Big E.
Not really. Get him in and out. Get him. You don't want him in there too long.
I was more surprised who eliminated him rather than, like, how early he was in, and how it wasn't a big deal. Big E was number five because, you know, Big E needs five.
This was the first, like, time, this was the first that they did this in this match, and I really like that they did that.
Johnny Gargano, which is cool.
Which was a big surprise, and it's like, yay, Johnny! Go, Johnny!
And then this was legit my reaction. Jinder Mahal.
But he was in and out.
Yay! Samoa Joe was a monster in this matchup. Curt Hawkins.
Oh my god.
Curt Hawkins was, well, Curt Hawkins. Curt Hawkins would eliminate Titus O'Neil, who came in number 12. Seth Rollins came out before him. Titus came out. He ran. Oh! We forgot. Forgot one thing. Going back to the Women's Royal Rumble really quick, because this reminds me of it. So, Zelina.
Oh, yeah.
Zelina Vega. And Hornswoggle.
Yeah, okay, so she's going up under the ring, right? And Rock had made a Hornswoggle reference, like, earlier in that day, or the night before, or something like that.
It was earlier in the day, and it's going to be about Titus. Like, Titus is going to fake the slide underneath, and Hornswoggle is going to meet him under there, because Hornswoggle lives underneath the ring.
And it's like, Hornswoggle doesn't work for the company anymore. He's not going to show up. So Zelina Vega goes under the ring. She's hiding under the ring in the Women's Rumble. And when you know it, who chases her out from under the ring? Goddamn Hornswoggle. Mole. Mole.
So there was that. So Titus O'Neil got eliminated. They went through the ring, and then Curt Hawkins got rid of him, and then Joe got rid of Curt Hawkins. Kofi came in at number 12 for his 12th Royal Rumble.
No, he didn't, Ash. I don't like him like that.
Then we had Mustafa Ali, Dean Ambrose. I also got No Way Jose, because that was a good pick. He was in and out. Drew McIntyre shined in this matchup. Xavier Woods didn't really have much of an impact. Pete Dunne. When Pete Dunne came in the ring, and he went through some... We saw some people later on going, okay, I want him versus him, him versus him, him versus him. Pete Dunne's the man.
Yeah, Pete Dunne versus the world. Just give it to me. Just give me Pete Dunne versus the world. Because, yeah, when he showed up, because it was like, they showed him and Tony at TakeOver the night before, and it was like, oh, they're here, so maybe they're going to be in the Rumble. Well, Tony Storm didn't show up in the Women's Rumble, so I was like, oh, crap. So they're probably not going to have Pete Dunne in the Rumble, and then it's like, he showed up, and it's like, all right. But, yeah, so Pete Dunne versus the world, give it to me. And, yeah, he looked good in the Rumble. He did very well.
Andrade, Apollo Crews, Aleister Black was a surprise at number 21.
Go, Aleister, go!
Shelton Benjamin, why? Baron Corbin, Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio, Lashley was in and out, 12 seconds. Braun Strowman came in and dominated. Then it was like, okay, there's one surprise left, and it's Hiatus Man, Dolph Ziggler. Now I'm not going to be in the Rumble. Yep. There you were, Dolph. Great. Now we know never to listen to a word you say ever. Cool. Randy Orton, and then R-Truth was coming into the ring, and then he got what-upped by Nia Jax. So Nia Jax is in the ring. You have Rollins and Strowman on the outside laid out. And then she goes face-to-face with Randy Orton. We're sitting here going, do it, Randy. Do it.
And you can tell he's thinking it, too.
Yep. Hit the move. Hit the RKO. Do it. We've never wanted to see an RKO more than at that moment. So she took a super kick, she took the 619, she took the RKO, and she got eliminated. I don't understand why she needed to be in the Rumble, but she was in the Rumble.
I mean, it was cool to see them put a woman in the Rumble. It's cool to see them teasing intergender matches again, which hasn't happened in a really long time in WWE. True intergender. So that was nice. That was cool.
Yep. It's just, yeah.
I don't know if I was okay with it being Nia. Like, she makes the most sense, but I mean, honestly, in terms of reputation-wise, I would have rather seen Candace, just because Candace has the reputation for kicking the guy's asses. But Nia was fine. I mean, I would have liked to have seen her do a little bit more. I did see a lot of people raise a stink about Nia, because they're like, oh, well, you know, and of course, this is why we don't have intergender, is people are like, oh, well, it could lead to domestic abuse. It could do this. It could do that. No. The main difference is you don't have the guys beating her up, like finding her and beating her up. She walked into the Rumble. She walked into the fight. She's looking to fight. There is a difference between the two, and that's what you need to explain to your children, is that this is not this, and this is also not real, so don't, you know, do the thing.
So it came down to Braun and Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins wins the Royal Rumble and is headed to WrestleMania to face Brock Lesnar.
He gets a Slay the Beast chant. I mean, this was expected. This was a good Rumble, don't get me wrong. I'm glad one rumored surprise didn't happen, just because it would have been an awkward PR moment for them had it happened, so I'm glad they didn't do it. This is where I'm just going to talk about Bray, and let's see, do you think WWE is trying to burn out Bray Wyatt's contract?
Nope.
He wasn't in the Rumble because they're holding him out for a reason. I think they're waiting for Matt Hardy to show up, and once Matt's good to go, then they're probably going to end up bringing Bray back. I think that's what's going on. But it's just a little frustrating, and I'm kind of up to the point where I'm just sort of done with it. Like, I'm done getting my hopes up about it. I'm done. I'm just done. Like, it's like, I love him. Don't get me wrong. I'll be really happy when he shows back up, but it's like, why am I going to sit here every Raw, every pay-per-view, expecting him to come back, when I'm going to be disappointed every time? Because that's what it's been for the last 5 months, is him not showing up. And I'm just done because it's like the Rumble. I don't understand why the Rumble wasn't the right time. I just don't get it.
I don't get it at this point, but it is what it is at this point. So anyway, we can get into that another day. You went 5-4 along with the 8-ball. I went 6-3.
Oh, look at you.
I know.
I still beat you in NXT.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
This Week's SmackDown. Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
It was announced that there will be a 6-man Elimination Chamber match featuring Mustafa Ali, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, and Rey Mysterio? No, Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy's the other one. Jeff Hardy's the other one. In an Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship that Daniel Bryan reintroduced on SmackDown Live with a new look. Talk about it.
Okay, so Daniel Bryan is playing his eco-friendly vegan sort of role. And, well, he can't have a metal belt with mined diamonds that could that are not, you know, eco-friendly. And then, of course, there's the whole matter of the leather strap that is just plain awkward to him. So Daniel Bryan trashes the old title.
Which was named Daisy.
The cow was named Daisy.
The cow that made the belt was named Daisy.
Which was hilarious.
By the way, before you get to with the belt, Eric Rowan came down, hold it with the belt in a bag. He went, what's in the bag? What's in the bag?
And I'm sitting here screaming, this is not good. Whatever is going to come out of that bag, this is not good because it's Eric Rowan with a bag. And the last time he showed up with a bag, it involved masks and balloons and scaring the crap out of Renee Young. And I'm just, you know, and it altered it weird personalities. Again, I am asking the question. We really have to make that leap of faith with Eric Rowan. Like, we just really, like, Luke Harper's not going to show back up, or Bray's not going to show back up, and, like, wave at him and be like, hi, Eric, and then he's going to lose his crap again. That's not going to happen?
No. Number two, Eric Rowan's Titantron is now the name, is just Rowan, and the recycling logo is now the O.
Which is cute.
All right, now talk about the belt.
Okay, so the belt. I actually kind of like it.
I love the belt. It's awesome looking.
I think it looks really pretty, actually. I kind of want one. Is the strap part is made from burlap/hemp.
Mm-hmm.
The actual title plate and covers are wood, and it's a mixed wood pattern. So you have the bottom part where the W sits on is actually stained a darker color, or it's a darker wood. Then the top piece, so that's how they got the detail. And then for the gemstones, you have turquoise and I think quartz. Quartz is for the diamonds, and then the turquoise is for accents. Like, it's really, really pretty. Can we put a picture of it
I'm working on it now.
Working on it. Okay. All right. On the magic screen?
Yeah. Working on it. Keep going.
But yeah, so it's really actually very pretty. I think it was the same people that did Bray Wyatt's custom belt.
Wildcat belts, yeah.
Well, Wildcat belts that did this one, and it looks really, really, really nice. Like, it's really crisp because the way that they cut the wood, they laser cut it. So it's just really clean and fresh, and it just looks nice. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just really aesthetically pleasing.
And it's, like, from trees that have already fallen. It's reclaimed, you know, they're using that wood. It's eco-friendly, you know, because, you know, you can't have it, you know, cut down the trees. So you have to come up with a It's naturally fallen oak.
A naturally fallen oak.
And 100% sustainable organic hemp is what they're calling it. So,
I mean, I think it's pretty. I really do. And getting to see the up-close pictures of it, it's really nice. Like, I think it looks nice because it's like that's quarter sawn oak it looks like. And I think it's nice.
It was great.
And it's custom to him. It fits him perfectly. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, better not smoke it. Well, yeah, there's that. You don't want to smoke the title.
No, you don't want to do that.
But in a pinch, it may work. So yeah, so Dane O'Brien reveals this new title, and then of course everybody wants it. So chaos ensues.
Yeah, which we talked about. So there was that on the show. Becky Lynch got into it with Charlotte. Charlotte's trying to weasel her way into the title picture.
Please don't.
The Usos won a four-way tag team match to get a shot at the SmackDown tag team titles against Shane McMahon and The Miz. who had a celebration among celebrations, which resulted in Miz's dad showing up and him finally telling his son he's proud of him. A heartfelt moment on SmackDown Live.
It only took the Miz how many years, and he finally worked his father into a storyline?
Well, he's worked him in before, but this is, you know, he got him in this one, which was good. So there was that. Okay. So what was the one weird thing about this show was Shinsuke Nakamura gave R-Truth a match for the United States Championship, and out of nowhere, R-Truth won the belt. Like, he went 1, 2, 3, Nakamura kicked out, and they went on to the next move, and the referee's like, no, it's over. It's over. Like, the ref counted 3, but Shinsuke's shoulder was up, which was interesting. So R-Truth became the new U.S. champion out of nowhere. Very interesting. But it was not over from there.
No, it was not over from there.
Rusev, who is now apparently heel, came out and won it title match. So he got title match. And R-Truth beat him.
Is R-Truth on a roll?
R-Truth is on a roll.
I mean, he wins the mixed match challenge. Now he beats Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev in the same night. I mean, not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all. I enjoyed it. This was an enjoyable SmackDown.
This was a nice follow-up to the Rumble. And Raw was the same way. They did a really good job of moving everything forward coming out, because they did actually do a lot to set up WrestleMania and the Rumble. And it was good. It was a fun show. I mean, overall, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
It worked.
Still highly confused about Eric Rowan. I will continue to be confused about Eric Rowan until I get a goddamn explanation. So if somebody could work on that, WWE, we know you're listening. Not. That would be greatly appreciated. But yeah, I mean, overall, great show. But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
It does it for us. Coming up next will be Fortnite with Friends right here. So stick around for that. Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio. Well, the Greater Than Great Debate, working on something. We'll let you know on Saturday what it is. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com, CBRadio.com. There is no WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, because of the Super Bowl. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews. Total Bella Season 4, Episode 3, now available. Episode 4 will be available next week. The Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Search it out. The Rack Radio Show on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, The Rack Radio Show. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. Twitch.tv/WTRLive. Follow and subscribe. You know, you have the Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. Free subscription, you know the deal. Do that. When you go to the Fortnite item shop with all this marshmallow stuff, use creator code RACKANDSOCK. That'd be cool. Like, there's some cool emotes and stuff. Use the code.
You can't see me emote, just saying.
There is. I mean, you can use it because of reasons. RACKANDSOCK in the item shop. That's all I got.
All right, well, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWARD. And, well, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors as well. MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, Gerwick.net, and fivebooth.com. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And everybody sit tight, because we're going to be back very shortly, probably in like 5 to 10 minutes. With Fortnite with Friends in some iterations. We're going to round up the squad, and then we're going to go have some fun, and we're going to talk all about the changes in Fortnite. So you don't want to miss it. But till then, it's been the Rock and Wild Talk Radio.com, and we're out. Bye!
It's the biggest day of my life. We got big guns. Graduated from knives, it's the day in the life, and I'm ready to ride. Got the spirit of
WildTalkRadio.com.